BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Pipe bomb.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Style great. I'm never gonna be done. Lean on in. Now welcome to the kingdom.
The kingdom where the kings bow down. They relinquish the crown. God won't hit me now. I just turn that around and make you
love me, love me, love me.
The kingdom where the kings bow down. They relinquish the crown. God won't hit me now. I just turn that around and make you
love me, love me, love me.
Look at that girl there. Hips, lips, and hair. Walks with a
pair. This unfamiliar, but hopefully more familiar tune opened up this week's edition of Monday Night Raw, and this is how we open up the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello, hello!
So Monday Night Raw usually opens with a Ryback or a Cena, but tonight it opened up with a Stephanie McMahon, Lindsay.
To a huge pop, and I think everybody went, oh, holy crap, there's Steph.
I know, I did. It caught me off guard at, oh my god, it's a Stephanie McMahon on our television screen, because you don't see that often. They were mentioning it's been a long time.
The last time we saw Steph was almost a year ago at Raw 1000. Not counting WrestleMania stuff, Raw 1000 was the last time.
Right, and she had some interesting things to say.
See, 2 weeks ago at Extreme Rules, my husband, Triple H, competed in a brutal steel cage match against Brock Lesnar. And not only 24 hours later, competed again in this ring against Paul Heyman's newest client, Curtis Axel. Well, my husband wasn't even able to finish the match. And you just saw the footage, and even though Triple H has been medically cleared to compete tonight, I've made an executive decision to not allow Triple H to compete. I made this decision as an executive, as a wife, and as a mother. And I'm just not going to allow Triple H to jeopardize his physical well-being against Curtis Axel, who quite frankly is beneath him. Look, I know this isn't a popular decision, but try to understand, Triple H has given his life and his body for all of you, and this decision is not about you. Look, I just ask that all of you try not to be so selfish.
So you have Stephanie McMahon out there talking, basically making the executive order that, well, her husband won't compete tonight. That was interesting.
What are the pitfalls of marrying into the family?
But when you have a hot open like that with Stephanie McMahon, well, that might lead to somebody else showing up.
Have some compassion. She's right. My son-in-law, Triple H,
Let me just say that he's given everything he possibly. Exactly.
I know I love him more than you do.
See, the thing is, we care more about Triple H than you do. It makes all the sense in the world. Triple H is the father of Stephanie's children, my grandchildren. So let me just state this. Triple H emphatically will not compete here tonight. Oh, guys. I mean, it's... What do you want? Yeah, you want Triple H. You want Triple H's heart, his liver, his lungs, his soul, his spleen. What the hell do you want from that man? Let me just state that... I got this. Let me state that... You know, WWE is family entertainment. It's not a blood sport. So let me just state this for the record. Kofi Kingston last week was put through a table. What did you chant? One more time. Put through another table. What did you chant? One more time. One more time. Well, there's not going to be one more time for Triple H. Not tonight. Not any night. And besides, just like Stephanie said, this Kurt Axel guy is beneath Triple H. You know what? I'm thinking tonight that each and every one of you are beneath Triple H as well.
Alright, the one thing that they cut out of that a little bit was, don't boo my daughter, and then the crowd booed Stephanie for about a minute.
It was amazing.
Alright, before we get to what happened after that point, let's start where we're at here. What do you think?
Since when is WWE not a blood sport?
Since it became PG? I don't know.
Yeah, that was just, when he said that line, I think everybody went bullshit simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Vince, but you sort of trained us to chant things like one more time and expect it to be a blood sport. And yeah, because at least a lot of the adults came up in the infamous Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm. And I loved when he said this is a... It's not a blood sport, and then the one fan chanted, give us some blood!
That was amazing! I don't know who did it, but bravo!
It was very well timed. Very well timed.
It was.
Overall, I liked the start of the show.
It was a nice start. My only qualm with it was they came off more heelish than, I think, concerned sounding.
Right. I would agree.
So that was my only qualm with it, was basically like, well, we're doing this because we can, so F you. We're not doing it because we're, quote-unquote, concerned for him.
Right.
They could have, I think, worded it a little bit better.
Right.
And also, they could have feigned a little bit more concern. It would have actually been helpful if they had Triple H there, and they had them state their case to his face rather than what happened later on the show.
Which we will get into.
Which we'll get into, but yeah, this was a really, really nice opening segment. Everybody popped to see Steph and Vince, because let's face it, the last time we saw Steph was a year ago, and you know when Vince shows up, shit's about to get real.
And then we heard another familiar tune of the Shield.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, they cut to a commercial, it's like, come on, what are they doing? And it was all of, oh, they just left. They escaped without harm. It was like, oh, you're going to do something to the McMahons. You're going to hurt Vince. But not to be tonight.
But think about the impact that that would have on the for the Shield if they did that to Vince.
Mm-hmm.
If they triple bout powerbomb Vince through something. Think about what that would do for them. That's like the ultimate sign you are over.
Lumans in the chat room goes, the McMahons are better heels anyways. That is correct.
That is correct. They are better heels, but in a family situation where they're basically telling the crowd to go F themselves, yeah, it's not as, I think, as impactful as they want it to be.
And Matt, you lie. You are not the one who chanted give us some blood. You're not in Hartford, Connecticut. You're in Chicago, or in the Chicago area. So don't even.
Hi, Matt.
Don't even start. Because you know you're too busy, Mr. Big Shot, planning something on Saturday with at the Squared Circle with Tara. You know that sort of thing.
Yeah, because you know you could hobnob with Impact Wrestling stars and
show off your documentary called Terrified. You know that whole shebang.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, moving on. The Shield came out. Awesome. Nice tease, because it teased us for what was to come. And that is the upcoming 6-man tag team match, The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns taking on Randy Orton, Kane, and Daniel Bryan. Holy hell. That was a tremendous match. Especially the finish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was one of those things where you're sitting there going, I swear to God, no matter how many times you see The Shield versus Hell No plus a partner, It's good every time. Like, I don't get tired of watching this match. Unlike Alberto Del Rio and Big E Langston, I could watch this match every day, all day, and be perfectly fine and not get sick of it.
Right.
These guys work so well together, and rightfully so, since they've been working together now for a couple months. But they put together such a great match, and it's always such a pleasure to watch.
Randy Orton impressed me tonight, too.
He did.
He was on fire tonight. Daniel Bryan was tremendous. That speed and aggression he has at the end of that match, holy hell, that was awesome.
Bryan was solid gold tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In so many ways. And it was wonderful.
And the crowd. Oh my God, the crowd.
Bryan was over.
Mm-hmm. He built that crowd up into a frenzy.
So, well done, bravo.
Reigns pushed Orton into Bryan, allowing Ambrose to spike him into the mat for the victory. The Shield once again pick up the victory over Daniel Bryan, Kane, and this time Randy Orton.
Boo.
Boo hiss, yeah, but whole.
Yeah, it was. Go find this match on YouTube. Go watch it. It's absolutely tremendous. Like I said, the Shield work just never, ever gets old. It really doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We got the tease, as Lindsay mentioned a moment ago. Big E Langston and Alberto Del Rio will take place later on tonight in a best-of series, as they sort of tagged it tonight, since they're now 2-2. And we also got a tease for the Chris Jericho CM Punk contract signing for Payback, with them using Punk in the picture and then later on taking him out of the picture.
He wasn't there. What are you talking about? You lie. Punk totally wasn't there.
I didn't say he was there. He was just in the picture.
But he wasn't in the picture either. That never happened. You're seeing things. I was seeing things.
I need to get my ass checked. Okay. So we go backstage. And, well, Daniel Bryan got a little defensive.
I had those guys beat.
Hey, chill out. I said I was sorry, didn't I? Anything can happen out in that ring, and you know it. I want to beat the Shield just as much, if not more, than the both of you. Let's just drop it, okay?
Oh, that's an apology. You hear that? That is an apology. You know, I knew that you think I'm the weak link. But now it's clear that you think I'm the weak link too, don't you, Randy? Oh, I get it. That's why you can't apologize to me, because it's my fault that we lost! Huh? It's my fault that we lost!
It's not your fault.
You know what? Now I know why you can't apologize to me. Because you guys don't respect me.
Oh, come on!
So you guys can't look me in the eye!
We do respect you. But man, you have lost touch with reality, my friend.
No, I haven't. Do you know what the reality is? I get it. The reality is that I'm the weak link.
Oh, no, you're not. Come on!
And one match?
Come on!
One match can solidify that I am not the weak link! And I could have earned everybody's respect! But that didn't happen. And since it's clear that the two of you don't respect me, I'm going to have to find another way to do it. You know what? I'm going to have another match. And I am going to beat the respect out of somebody else. Maybe then you guys will finally respect me.
Oh, that was good.
That was great. And did somebody say shit?
No one said shit.
For a second I thought I heard it, but yeah, that was absolutely fantastic. And again, Kane is the voice of...
Reason? Yeah, and there's one thing Daniel Bryan doesn't want to hear right now, and that's this.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Well played.
So yeah, that was fantastic. I enjoyed that. You can see Daniel Bryan is really fired up right now. And he doesn't want to be the weakest link, and he's going to do everything he can to prove that he isn't.
Agreed. And he's really on fire right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no other way to describe it other than he is just absolutely on fire.
This is very, very true. We then go backstage and Triple H arrives on the scene.
What's happening?
Where's Vince's office?
It's right down this hallway over there.
Hey.
Hi.
What's going on? Huh?
Paul?
I am wrestling tonight. I am wrestling Curtis Axel tonight.
No, you're not. Look, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. I watched you collapse at ringside. I had no idea what was going to happen to you. I'm on the phone with your mother, with your sister. Our kids are crying. You have no idea what we went through.
We talked about this.
Yes, we
did.
And I
am wrestling tonight.
No, you're not. He is not worth it. Curtis Axel is not worth it.
I am cleared to wrestle, and I am wrestling tonight. Bottom line.
You're not.
What happened to the cerebral assassin? Because cerebral assassin is not being too cerebral at the moment. What's the matter with you? Besides, this kid's good. All right, a couple of weeks ago, you were unconscious out there. Nobody wants to see that happen, and think about someone other than yourself. Get your ego out of this, okay?
Oh, you're going to talk to me about ego. You are going to talk to me about ego, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about ego.
Let me tell you what I'm doing tonight. I am going to the ring, and I am wrestling Curtis Axel.
No, you're not.
Really? Who's going to stop me?
Let me just give you a little advice. Don't do something that you're going to regret.
That was interesting.
Oh, family drama. Where would we be without you?
I know, right? Hunter, you know, Steph trying to devalue Curtis, but Vince putting him over. Well done.
Yes, very well done.
And then Vince trying to step up and try to fight Hunter on his, and then Stephanie step in the middle. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was a very nice way to kind of tell the story of, well, who really wears the pants in this family? And it is Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, clearly. It's clear. Stephanie is the one who wears the pants and is in charge of this McMahon Helmsley Levesque clan.
Although I was kind of sitting here wondering when they referenced the marriage and everything tonight, it's like, well, didn't technically Stephanie and Hunter and divorce on TV, so when did that marriage occur where they got remarried?
On that app thing.
On that app thing? Wait, they have an app?
Yes, they have an app, apparently. They mentioned tonight they have this new, brand new thing called an app. First time ever hearing of it, but it was mentioned tonight, so I figured it mentioned on the show.
Can you access it on your smartphone and tablet device?
Most likely, I think. I know Gerald Briscoe was trying to get on his phone, but he couldn't, so I don't think it's available for all phones.
Oh, bummer.
Bummer. But, yeah. So far, so good. I'm liking this storyline as the night goes on. It's a nice little change of pace. We have a storyline throughout the show. Who knew that could do that? And then we got a tease for coming up after the break, the Usos with face paint in action.
Wait, the Usos are on Raw?
The Usos were on Raw, and they took on Primetime Players with new face paint. Yeah. The Usos were in action, and they had a half-decent match with the Primetime Players tonight.
Who knew?
Who knew? And the Usos won.
Well, damn.
I know, it's amazing. So the Usos picked up the victory over the Primetime Players. We then come back from break, and it's time for the second hour of Monday Night Raw, and we started off with Alberto Del Rio versus Big E Langston in match number 5 of this best of series. What? Yeah.
Nothing. Just over and over and over and around the Mullenberry Bush we go with these two.
We'll get into this now. The way they phrase things tonight, I think this is a best of 7 that concludes at Payback.
I hope to God it does, because, you know, eventually they're going to have to move one of these guys on from each other, since they particularly have no feud, and they're going to have to address Ziggler at some point.
And the way they mentioned him tonight, that didn't sound good.
I think he, Ziggler, he showed up at a house show this weekend.
He did the house show loop this weekend. He did 2 house shows. He did an autograph signing in upstate New York. And then he was supposed to get tested tonight. Or today, rather. And depending how that testing went, we would know the fate of Ziggler, and by the sounds of it tonight, since he wasn't on the show, I don't think he passed the test.
I would say not, so he's probably okay to travel at least short distances, because he lives in Florida, doesn't he?
I believe so, yes, but we also thought he was in California, so who knows?
Yeah, so he's probably able to travel short distances or do, like, one-shot trips, but he's not able to go fully back on the road. So, yeah, I'm sure if he was in upstate New York, then that means that they had him in New York City for testing. And I would guess since he wasn't on the show, and, yeah, they kind of sort of mentioned him in a not-so-positive manner, that would indicate that, oh, crap, Ziggler didn't pass.
It was kind of the way to kind of tell us that he did not pass. And when they mentioned it going, that this is a series, and we had the awkward finish in this one, seems like this is going to continue just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Wouldn't surprise me. But that's... since they really have nothing else for them, that's fine. But at the same time, it's like at some point you have to address, and I would have Del Rio address it, where it's at some point you've got to address the fact that Ziggler is hurt, and you have to have somebody be like, well, he's a champion, and that 30-day rule that they love to ignore is going to come into play.
Right.
And somebody has to point out at some point that, oh, hey, by the way, it's been over 30 days since Ziggler defended, and I don't want to see him stripped of the title, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, you may not have a choice.
They're getting to that point. I think they're going to wait as long as Payback, and after that, we might start seeing things. And with this concussion he has, he could be cleared one day and they'll be fine, but they don't know what day that is.
They're going to keep a close eye on him. They're going to keep testing him, and they will make the determination probably right before Payback. I would guess this is probably a preliminary test to determine where he's at so they can start to set the plans for the pay-per-view. At least I would imagine that's how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong. But at the same time, they could have been testing him this whole time, and he's just never been really ready.
Right.
And kind of the other fearful thing is, well, what happens if Ziggler never passes?
Yeah.
Because the injury is, from all accounts that I've heard, is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty severe, so it's kind of one of those things that you've got to wonder at this stage what's going on with him and if he is going to be okay.
Yeah, it makes you wonder at this point. I think he'll be okay. I think he's getting better. It's just time heals all things like that.
Right, so it's the next couple weeks leading into the pay-per-view are going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because they have the built-in match, it's just, it's getting kind of late to book a world title match for a pay-per-view in 13 days.
Especially since we have not seen hide nor hair of the champions in
a few weeks.
A few weeks at least. Because he got hurt on, what, a Raw? No, he got hurt on SmackDown.
Right, he got hurt on SmackDown a week before the last pay-per-view. So, we move on. Sheamus, Damian Sandow. Well, no, Sheamus, Cody Rhodes. My bad.
With Damian Sandow.
With Damian Sandow. The report has that Sheamus and Damian Sandow. Yeah, Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes in a solid match. Damian Sandow was tremendous on commentary.
Can we just have Damian Sandow on commentary all the time?
That would be great. And if you didn't see what he did on SmackDown, that was amazing.
He palmed the ball.
Mm-hmm. He is the new magician, is Damian Sandow.
He is. He needs to go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Sheamus beat Cody Rhodes with the lucky bro kick, as Damian Sandow put it.
So it's a lucky bro kick now. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a lucky bro kick. Yeah. So, we then sort of, we go backstage a little bit, and we have, Triple H, he has a little bit of a mad right now, and is, storming away.
Then he is, he gets up in my face, talk to me about ego. I'm leaving. Not because he asked me to leave. I'm leaving for you, and I'm leaving so I don't have to beat our kid's grandfather's ass on my TV. I'll tell him this. Go back in there and you tell that crazy old bastard, next Monday night we come on the air for Raw, I'm going to be in that ring, and I'm going to be wrestling Curtis Axel.
Paul.
So Stephanie McMahon is left wondering what's next.
So does that mean that since they live in Connecticut and technically they're probably just going home, that Steph's on the couch tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because somebody's in trouble?
Mm-hmm. Steph's in a little bit of trouble, so she gets the couch, or she sneaks into the bed and tries to make all nicey-nicey with Hunter.
Good luck with that, sweetheart.
I'm liking the family drama tonight.
It's a nice tie-in where you... Because you've been kind of waiting for this, where has the family been as far as, you know, Hunter keeps taking these beatings. For the family. And he's, you know, the McMahons are not really showing any concern over it. Where he keeps getting his ass handed to him, like at Mania and at SummerSlam before, the year before, and, you know, then at Extreme Rules, and it's like they're just now showing concern over the fact that Triple H keeps getting absolutely just beat to crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes the fact that he passes out to really get their attention. It's like, what is going on in this family?
What does it take to get some attention around here?
So, I guess the story continues.
The story will continue later on tonight and next week, but we stay backstage, and we have a little bit more of Daniel Bryan.
What?
Listen, you little puke. You better watch what you're doing.
Or what? You're gonna put me through three tables like you did Kofi?
You know, because of me, Kofi had surgery last Thursday.
Yeah, so?
So, last year, I had the flu. A stomach virus. My throw-up is bigger than you.
You think it's that easy? You think I'm just gonna roll over and run away because you're bigger and stronger than me? I'm not afraid of you.
You have truly lost your mind. If that's how you feel, prove it, tough guy. Get in the ring with me tonight.
Go ahead. Underestimate me and see what happens.
I already know what's going to happen because you're the weak link. And after our match tonight, you're going to be the missing link.
Daniel Bryan versus the Ryback tonight on Raw.
So the dragon versus the gorilla?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. That's where we stand at this point in time.
So was Ryback trying to make a funny and he just failed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
He's like, so I had the flu. A stomach virus. My throw-up is bigger than you.
Ha, 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 ha.
Really, dude? That's your best job of delivering a... No. Dude needs a manager. Now. Somebody find him a manager, please. I am begging you. Please find him somebody.
Right.
Anybody.
Somewhere there's got to be somebody.
Zeb Coulter isn't doing anything at the moment. Get Zeb Coulter, for the love of God. Anybody who can talk. Dude, did you realize that you got on the Twitter feed on Raw?
Wait, what?
You got on the Twitter feed tonight.
Wait.
I just saw it creep across the screen during the Del Rio match.
All right.
At Wild Talk Radio.
There, Kinkin just... Wow, holy shit. Holy shit.
Yay!
Wow. Kinkin just said it too. Wow, how about that?
Yeah, I just saw it. I saw that name, and I was like, wait, I know that name.
I have to go back and actually screen cap that thing. Somebody quickly do it.
Yeah, it was the Triple H's Wrestling Tonight tweet.
Wow, how about that? How about that? I have to go back and actually look for that. How about that? Anyway.
Rock's like, his ego's all bullshit.
It is. It kind of is. And somebody's, you know, talking to me as I'm doing a show.
Well, sorry, fine. Do your damn show. I'll shut up.
No, not you. Some other Canadian is trying to talk to me.
Tim, not now. He's busy.
He's not listening. Anyway. Anyway, moving on so we can, you know, get to more of the show. Mr. McMahon and, well, him and Paul Heyman had a little conversation.
Mr. Heyman!
Mr. McMahon!
Yeah, how you doing, Paul?
How are you, sir?
Sir.
You're doing great. I got a hell of a future ahead of you.
Thank you, sir.
Tremendous potential. Hungry. Aggressive. I like that.
Thank you.
Too bad we're not going to see that match with Triple H tonight. I'd love to have, Oh, by the way, we're not going to see the match next week either.
Okay.
Makes you happy, doesn't it?
Well, it's okay, but listen, we'll see you Friday night on SmackDown.
Okay.
And thank you for all the opportunity.
You bet.
Let's go.
Not only going to see us Friday on SmackDown, but Curtis Axel is going to be in action tonight.
Oh, God, here it comes.
Come on, he's a hungry young lion. Come on. That's why tonight he's going to be in action against John Cena.
Okay.
Yeah. Only this time it'll be different than last week. This will be a no disqualification match. Do you want me to say it in Yiddish?
No.
Good. Get ready for the match. Good luck, kid.
Okay. Let's go.
I love it. Do you want me to say it in Yiddish?
You want me to say it in Yiddish, yeah. How about that? And, King Kins don't need to do what you think you need to do. Taking care of already. I'm that quick. I can do things multitask as we're doing things live on the show.
I knew you were a multi-thing guy.
Oh, I am going to kill you. Anyway. You know, anyway. Yeah, so we get Curtis Axel and John Cena in a no DQ match tonight on Raw. It's pretty cool what they're doing, don't you think? With this McMahon using his power and making matches. It's like the authority figure, he actually means something.
Of course, that makes you wonder, where the hell is Vicky?
Yeah, there was no Vicky Guerrero tonight.
There was no Vicky Guerrero tonight. Absolutely none. I guess when Steph and Vince are both there and on television, well, then Vicky gets the night off.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. That's pretty much what happens, yeah. Up next, we come back from break. It is time for Fandango versus the Great Khali. That really didn't happen much. They wrestled a little bit, and then they disappeared when The Miz came out onto this, you know, the ramp, stopping Fandango from leaving. Then Wade Barrett came from behind and attacked The Miz with the bullhammer. And laid him out and made people question whether or not he would wrestle up next on Raw.
It did its job.
It did.
Although, I kind of have to wonder if Fandango... I figured it out. Fandango has been ripping off Christopher Daniels' dance moves. Because when he does the shuffle when he comes out, it's what Christopher Daniels does, and it's like, he stole Christopher Daniels' dance move! That bastard!
How dare that happen? By the way, here's a fact. The reason why we got Daniel Bryan got a beard, it's because of Christopher Daniels.
Because he's that awesome.
Mm-hmm. He is that awesome. So we transitioned from Fandango and the Great Khali had no finish to The Miz versus Wade Barrett in a non-title match. The Miz with an... Before we get to what Miz did, Fandango came back out. He danced a little bit, led to a distraction. And the Miz with a counter into the figure four with the... He tripped him up or something. Yeah, he tripped up Barrett and then applied an interesting figure four. So Miz wins via submission and the feud continues.
Yay.
Yay, it will be interesting. It shall be interesting. We then come back from break. Yes. Hey, Tim, you want to know how we found out? Somebody's watching the show right now called Raw, Lindsay, and then Kate Kins. They're both on, like, the West Coast and that sort of thing. That's how we found out we made it to Raw. You know, if you were listening to the show, you would have found out. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I can't talk to you and try to read the show format, Tim. So, you're going to get answers on air. So, deal with it.
Bother him after the show, Tim.
No, he was asking, how did we find out? Well, I just told him. That sort of thing. Anyway, we move on to the third hour of Raw. It's the contract signing. Paul Heyman and Chris Jericho were in the ring, ready to talk. Heyman starts talking. Jericho interrupted and basically listed off some facts about CM Punk. And then, you know, Paul Heyman talked about how when Chris Jericho shows up in Chicago, he's going to get booed because there might be Jerichoholics in, you know, this building tonight, but in Chicago it won't be. Heyman told Jericho he'll be heckled and jeered in front of the hometown crowd where CM Punk can do no wrong. Heyman said Jericho might be the best in the world at what he does, but Punk is the best in the world at what he does. And what CM Punk does is make liars out of people who think they can lay claim, and not CM Punk can claim to be the title of the best in the world. Jericho sort of was thinking things over, taking, you know, everything Heyman said into account before saying, well, since all that's happening, well, maybe they should do the match at SummerSlam in L.A. Heyman said, no, how about Madison Square Garden in New York? And Heyman said that was tempting, but no. And then Jericho said, how about right here in Hartford, Connecticut? And the crowd went crazy.
Except, oh wait, CM Punk is napping on his couch at the moment, so that's not going to work. Or maybe it's Colt Cabana's couch. We're not sure.
Well, we're not quite sure, but someone's couch it was. It was someone's couch, but we're not 100% sure.
Yeah, we're not entirely sure.
We're not entirely sure, but it happened. But Heyman said no to that. And then Jericho said, well, I guess maybe it'll just have to happen in, you know, Chicago. And Jericho seemed okay with that. And then, well, they both said the contract was signed, and, well, they said, where should it be filed? And basically, he filed it into Paul Heyman's pants. So Jericho found a way to get into Paul Heyman's pants.
Well, I'm sure he's not the first.
He's probably not the first, and probably not the last. And, well, and we'll just leave it at that.
Well, to put it like this, actually, what was kind of wrong was after that happened on Twitter, somebody was like, I will buy that from you.
Really?
Like, yeah, seriously, somebody, I forget who it was, it was just a random tweet that somebody put out that tweeted CM Punk, Paul Heyman, Chris Jericho, and I think at WWE, and said, I want to buy that, or I will buy that from you. And I think it was in response to Paul Heyman tweeting the picture of the contract.
Ah.
And somebody offered to buy it. I'm like, that's
kind of creepy.
That's not right.
No, that's kind of creepy.
You know, there's just certain people's kids.
People are special, Lindsay. Well, we should leave it at that. People are special.
People are entirely special.
So, we come back from break. And it's the Bella Twins versus Bella Twins and AJ Lee versus Caitlyn and the Funkadactyls, Cameron and Naomi. And, well, this was a match.
It was there.
The best part of this match is they played off what happened a few weeks ago when the Bellas left AJ hanging. This time, AJ was the one leaving the Bellas hanging.
Very clever on her part.
It was very clever on her part, so I enjoyed that much of it. We then go backstage one more time to the voice of reason, Kane.
Listen, my match is next. I have to go.
This is crazy, Daniel. Fighting Ryback tonight is a mistake. You've already competed once tonight, and you saw what that animal Ryback did to Kofi last week.
I'm fine. I can do this.
Oh, come on. You know, in all the years that I've been here, I've never seen anyone with your heart, or your desire, or your will to fight. And you prove it night after night after night after night after night. You don't have anything to prove to me or to anyone else.
You're wrong, Kane. You're always wrong. I do have something to prove, and beating Ryback will prove it. And you know what? I'm going to prove it without you.
And what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I mean, I don't want you anywhere near me tonight. You understand what I'm saying? You got it.
Yeah, I got it. Loud and clear. And I'll do you one better. I'm out of here. Call me when you find your mind. Because it's obvious that you've lost it.
Kane has a phone, did you know?
Yeah, the result of this segment, other than it's absolutely amazing, is everybody went, wait, Kane has a phone?
Well, if you remember correctly, he had a phone when he was calling Halle Berry.
That doesn't mean it was his!
It was still a phone. So you're telling me Kane just now got a cell phone?
He could have.
Well, technically he said a phone. Never said cell phone. So he could still might have a rotary dial phone.
Wait, that means Brian has his house number.
Yes, he has his house number.
The Fortress of Solitude!
Yes, the Fortress of Solitude.
I'm sorry. It's Kane. You know he lives out in the middle of goddamn nowhere. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a moat.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either.
With sharks with laser beams on them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kane Gins wrote us on Twitter. Does he have a family plan?
No family plan. Taker doesn't do the family plan.
Taker does not do the family plan. We also had the what's his ringtone? I think that's a good question for Thursday.
I think that is a good question for Thursday. That might be our question of the night. What is Kane's ringtone?
What is Kane's ringtone? So you got till Thursday to come up with answers of what is Kane's ringtone? I like that. We'll use that as part of the show. Might not be the official question tonight, but it will be a question on the show. What is Kane's ringtone? So we then had another really interesting promo package for the Wyatts.
Yes.
Yeah, they're coming, folks. The Wyatt family, they be a coming.
And the internet explodes again for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell I just get this really good feeling with the way that they're building them and the way that everybody is reacting to them, that this is going to be really, really, really good. Just the fan reaction, I'm sure, is prompting WWE to give them treatments similar to The Shield. Because they haven't even premiered and they're over.
Yeah.
And that says something right there. So
it will just see how it translates to the live crowd.
If they do it like they've been doing it in NXT, I think it will.
Right. So we'll see what happens. This leads us to the Ryback taking on Daniel Bryan, and this was a good match.
Daniel Bryan carried Ryback.
Daniel Bryan took Ryback to his limits. Whew. Great
stuff. Yes, he did. Holy crap.
There was one moment where he kept hammering with forearms. Oh, that was tremendous.
Bryan schooled Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
Literally schooled him tonight, and it was amazing to watch.
That diving headbutt where he jumped basically across the ring.
Oh, I know. That was tremendous.
That was tremendous. And Ryback was on the outside. Daniel Bryan dove through the ropes, but Ryback ducked and basically shifted Bryan into the announce table, which kind of looked like it hurt. And then started beating him up on the outside.
Yeah, I don't think Bryan was supposed to smack the announce table like that.
That hard, yeah. He brought Bryan back into the ring. Also a table. Put him through the table, causing disqualification. Ryback loses. Daniel Bryan wins via the disqualification, but Ryback was not done. He won it. One more table. He pulled out the table, ready to go. But out came John Cena for the save. Ryback just backed away. We had Curtis Axel come out. And we were going to transition into our main event. Good matchup, though, between Ryback and Daniel Bryan.
It was really nicely done, and you could tell that, like you said, Bryan was pushing Ryback to his limit because they have such a different style. And I think they're now finally letting Bryan work the style he likes to work.
Mm-hmm, because they're giving him time now.
Because they're giving him time, and you see that the pace in his matches has picked up.
Mm-hmm.
He's working much faster than he used to. So I think Bryan is, he's now getting to do what he wants to do because he's proved himself.
Right.
And that's awesome to see because Daniel Bryan motivated is a thing of beauty to see.
Right. We then transitioned to the main event, John Cena, Curtis Axel, which was a fine match. There was one spot where the chair, where it was laid up in the corner, and John Cena sort of ran into it really slow. And they sped up the replay to make it look like he went in faster, but he went in there slow.
He was being careful.
He was being very careful, unlike Gail Kim last night on Slammiversary, who went right into it really fast and hard.
That's the difference between girls and guys?
I guess so. This was a fine match. The finish came about with Ryback attacking John Cena on the outside, driving him through a table, causing the count out in the no DQ match. And that's why they did it. They said no DQ, not no DQ, and no count out victory for Curtis Axel. Ryback stood over a fallen John Cena as Raw went off the air.
It was a nice close. It was a nice finish.
Right.
The only thing was when Axel came out, it's like, wait, are they just going to wrestle around the broken body of Daniel Bryan or what?
I wasn't sure. I thought they would maybe do a chalk outline for Daniel Bryan.
I mean, shit. It's like they just start the match and just, okay, Daniel Bryan's still dead in the ring. Okay, that's fine. We'll just work around him for now.
Right.
But, yeah.
It was a nice finish. It was the appropriate finish. Curtis Axel wins via countout. Because I don't think you were going to have Curtis Axel pin John Cena.
I don't know why, but I think they're saving that victory and I think they're saving it for Triple H. I get this funny feeling that they're saving that first pinfall victory for Curtis Axel for Hunter.
Well, he's beaten Sin Cara twice on SmackDown, so he's had pinfall victories. But in terms of big wins, yeah, it's probably going to be Hunter.
Yeah, so I think they're stalling right now to get to probably Payback or Money in the Bank at this stage.
Right.
To set that up where it's a big match and Hunter walks into it and either something happens in the match to Hunter where he collapses again or he underestimates Axel and he gets his ass handed to him.
Right.
Or a combination of both.
Or a combination of both, yeah. So that's 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. I'm going to say this was one of the better Raws we've seen in a while.
It was really nicely booked. It had a very quick pace to it. There were only a couple slow spots.
But you will get that in 3 hours of Raw.
You will get that in 3 hours of Raw. They did a really nice job with the backstage segments. There weren't a lot, and they weren't too long, but the ones that they had mattered, and they were important, and they helped to further the story.
Unlike most shows lately, they told a story throughout the show.
And they left a lot of open questions tonight. Like, I'm really kind of curious, what's going to happen between Brian and Kane? Because Brian's off his nut. Kane has left Brian basically for dead at this stage. And to be fair, Brian told him to F off. So what happens when the two come back together?
Right.
Is Brian going to blame Kane for the fact that he wasn't there?
We shall see, because they're going to be on Miz TV as of today on SmackDown this Friday.
Yeah, so that's... And another thought popped into my head. Mm-hmm. Brian's flipped his nut. Does Kane go and get Dr. Shelby?
We shall see, is the best way to put it.
I guess so.
So that will do it for the Raw Post Show live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wait. I have one more rant.
Okay.
WWE, please stop having Ryback come out with the sirens. You're confusing everybody.
Yeah, we all think Scott Steiner's going to show up.
Pretty much. It's like, we get it. It's an ambulance match. You're trying to promote it. I understand that. But for the love of God, stop having Ryback come out with the ambulance, or at least the sirens for the ambulance. Like, the ambulance is fine. The sirens are not, especially at the beginning, because we all get confused. It's like, wait, Steiner's... Oh, right. Ryback.
Ryback, yeah. Him.
Yeah, him.
Him.
Got it.
So, now that's 3 hours of Monday Night Raw in a nutshell?
Yes.
Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. He will be talking to George the Animal Steel Wednesday night. It is GP Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Matthew Forsina and Scott Barry. Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack, Lindsay.
That's right, we're going to be talking all about Slammiversary. Thursday night's Impact, news, notes, question of the night, Magic 8-Ball, and tweet of the week. So tune in and listen, because we have a lot of fun.
Go to rockradioshow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, and stuff. We do the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern right here on wildtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
That's right. You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. You can go to CassieRiley.net. Check that out. Go to my DeviantArt, LinzWard.deviantArt.com. And, of course, check out RecRadioShow.com as well as all the awesome shows on this network. We all work very hard. And so listen to everybody because everybody's amazing.
Thanks, PW Mania, memlanepromo.com. We'll see you next Monday live right here, wildtalkradio.com.
www.TripleHTonight.com.